Perhaps you've heard of little Frank. Frank loved baseball. And in fact, he was convinced that he was going to make it into the big leagues. And his specialty was hitting. In fact, he thought that he was the best hitter of all time. And so one Saturday morning, he got up, he got his baseball bat, he grabbed his ball, and he headed out down the street. And people could hear him as he walked by. "I am the greatest hitter of all time. The world's never seen a hitter like Frank." He goes all the way to the ball diamond. He gets up to home plate there, and he's still saying, "I'm the greatest hitter of all time." And he takes the ball, throws it up in the air, swing and a miss. "Strike one," he says, as if he was a commentator. Undaunted, though, picks up the ball. "I am the greatest hitter of all time." Throws the ball up, swing and a miss. "Strike two." Still unfazed by any of this. He picks up the ball the third time. "The world has never seen a hitter like Frank." Throws it up. Swing and a miss, strike three, "You're out." Pauses for a minute. "I'm the greatest pitcher of all time." Attitude. It all comes down to attitude. How are you going to approach life? What is your mindset? A recent research at Stanford University said that attitude is more important than intellect as far as an indicator for success. In other words, you could have all kinds of knowledge. You could be smart as a whip. But if you don't have the right attitude, it could sabotage your career and sabotage your life. Is it any wonder if attitude is so important that St. Paul, when he's writing to the church at Philippi, would say this? We'll take a look first at the New Living Translation. It says, "You must have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus." To have the same mindset of that of Jesus. Or as it was read just a moment ago from the ESV, and it has a little bit different emphasis. "Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus." I like that emphasis. So not only are we to have the mind of Jesus, but here the emphasis is, it's yours. Because you've been called to faith in Jesus, this attitude can be yours. It's part of the transformed life. Having been called to faith in Jesus and given a new life, a new fresh start, Scripture says that each day we should be transformed more and more like Jesus. As we finish up the series of messages, we focus in on transforming our attitude. A transformed attitude is really a positive attitude. I'm not talking about empty optimism, not talking about the power of positive thinking, but I'm talking about a godly optimism that is filled with hope because of the presence and the promise of Jesus in our lives. So a good attitude, a proper attitude, a transformed attitude is a positive attitude, but that's easier said than done. Can oftentimes in this world, with all the things that we're surrounded with, we can turn negative really quickly. But a negative attitude equals a negative life. It is not the life that God has called us to. And we can see a negative attitude. I think the negative attitude has two cousins, and they're real close to one another, cynicism and pessimism. All right? So you're either cynical or you're pessimistic. And in today's world, at least, I think it's pretty easy to be cynical. Now, maybe this doesn't bug you, but it bugs me a great deal, and that is, where does one go for what is the real story on the news? Because I don't know. Because if I go between three different channels, they can all be reporting the same incident, but wow, you'd never know it listening to them, because each one's got their own slant, each one's got their own spin to it. Now, it's easy to go cynical on that and just with a broad stroke say they're all liars. With a broad stroke, they've all got an agenda. They're all trying to push something on me. That's what can happen. You can become cynical. And then it spills over to the rest of your life, right? So all of a sudden, you're talking to someone in the store, and you go, I wonder what their angle is. And the salesman there, what are he trying to dupe me into? I wonder if they're trying to cheat me. Somebody comes to the door. You don't want to answer the door because I wonder what they're up to. It spills over more than we like to admit. A cynical attitude, always expecting the worst, always figuring that somebody's trying to take advantage of us. Real close to cynicism is pessimism. You know, pessimism, the old adage, either the glass is half full or it's half empty. I've met a number of people that don't even like the glass. I mean, pessimism is running rampant. Pessimism is you expect the worst in every situation. You worst case scenario, everything. You blow things out of proportion. I suppose we're trying to protect ourselves. That way we won't be disappointed when something bad happens. But really, is that the life that Jesus has called us to? Is this negative attitude that spills over into our relationships so that we don't trust anybody and we see the worst in everything? That's not the life that Christ has called you into. That's not the abundant life that he wants for you. A positive attitude results in a positive life. And I'm not talking just empty optimism. I'm talking a positive, optimistic attitude based on the presence and promises of Jesus. Let me give you an example. An example from the story of the death of Lazarus. If you recall that story, there's Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and they're very good friends with Jesus. He's very close to them. Lazarus becomes sick. They send for Jesus. Jesus delays coming. By the time he arrives, Lazarus has been dead for 3 days. Okay? So his friend has died. It says to us that Jesus goes out to the grave, and he breaks down, and he cries. I mean, that's the sorrow he's filled in. That's the close relationship that he has with this family. But as you read through the story, there's two different attitudes about Jesus being there. First of all, let's go to the end of the story. We're going to take a look at verse 37. So Jesus is crying over his friend. And some of the people say, see how he loved them? But in verse 37, but some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? I don't think I'm reading into that. That sounds cynical to me. So what's up with this Jesus? So he can make the blind see, but he couldn't do something for his own friend? I don't know, are they calling into question his sorrow and his tears? I just see a lot of cynicism in that verse. Now, contrast that if we go up to when Jesus first arrives and Martha goes out to meet him. So verse 21 and 22. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. I see a completely different attitude in Martha. She's one that's filled with faith and hope. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He's died, but that's okay because Jesus, you're here. And whatever you ask for from God, God's going to give you. Now, I don't know exactly what she had in mind. Was she looking for Jesus to raise him from the dead? I don't know, possibly. But what I hear is an attitude of faith and hope. My brother is dead, but it's okay because Jesus, you're here. And I know that you're going to do the right thing because whatever you ask from God, God is going to do. Focus in on the presence and the promise of God, and it can ward off cynicism and pessimism. It's not an empty hope. It's a hope based on Jesus. Does that mean nothing will ever go bad in our life? Hardly. Does that mean people won't try and cheat us or dupe us? No, of course they will. We live this side of heaven. Bad things will happen. People will try and trick us, yes. But what I'm saying is our God is bigger than all of it. We don't have to let that dictate our life and ruin our attitude and our relationships with other people, because we have every reason and every cause to be optimistic, to be hopeful, because of the presence and the promise of Jesus. We transform our attitude so that it is a positive attitude. The second thing that we see from Jesus is that a transformed attitude is a servant attitude. That's not real popular today, but we see it in Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, I have not come here to be served, but to serve. And how is he going to serve? To give my life as a ransom for many. A very selfless act on Jesus' part. Kind of the opposite of what we see in our world. We see a lot of selfishness. We see a lot of self-serving. And a self-serving life, as far as I'm concerned, equals a lonely life. As I think about it, what I mean by a self-serving life is there seems to be a lot of entitlement going around. that somehow we believe that we're entitled to certain things, and we're entitled to a certain way of life, we're entitled to a certain amount of happiness. And if that's true, that gets translated then into an awful lot of selfishness. Because if we're entitled to it, that means whatever means I have to use, they're justified as long as my needs, my wants, my desires are met. Because I've got to look out for number one, because nobody else is going to look out for number one. If that means that I have to step on a few people to get there, well, so be it. Better them than me, because I want my needs met. That sounds lonely to me. If you leave a trail of people that have been used and abused so that you could get what you want, where does that leave you? But just alone. But it's not just in the big things. I think selfishness, for me, for us, comes in the little things as well. And again, maybe I'm reading too much into this. How many TVs do you have in your house? Right? Why do you have multiple TVs? So everybody can watch what they want to watch. And actually, in my house, it's not TVs anymore. It's these little babies. Everyone's got a tablet, everyone's got a phone, everyone's got a laptop. Why? Because we want to be doing our own thing. That's why. So we can all be sitting in the room together, and I'll be reading the news, and Michelle will be playing a game, and the girls over there will be on Facebook, right? We're all in the same room, but we are all apart. You'd never know that we were together because we want our stuff, and we want to do what we want to do. Selfishness can creep in. Unsuspecting. And all of a sudden we can wake up one day and be very, very lonely because a self-focused life is a lonely life. Listen to the words of St. Paul again to the church at Philippi, verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Count others more significant than yourselves. What Paul is trying to say is that what we need is a serving life. Because a serving life is a fulfilled life. We see that in the life of Jesus. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Listen to what Paul says about Jesus. We're going to go down to verse 6. So, who, that is Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So, here it is, Jesus, who is entitled to honor, glory, and praise. Jesus, who is entitled to sit at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, who is entitled to his throne in heaven. All of that belongs to him. But he pushes that aside, not considering it important, and instead comes to serve us. The one who was there at creation is now the one who's entering into creation. The one who is timeless enters into time just so that he could serve us. He goes on. So at being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So even though we don't deserve it and we couldn't earn it, Jesus came to face the cross for us. That Jesus would die in our place so that in his death we would have life. So he would take on our sinfulness so that we could take on his righteousness. The attitude of Jesus is an attitude of servanthood, of selflessness, of putting your needs and my needs above his own. And Jesus' attitude transforms our attitude. If you've been touched by God's love, and if you understand the magnitude of the cross and what Jesus has done for you, that changes our life. It transforms our life, and it changes and transforms our attitude as well. As Jesus has served us, now we want to serve one another. Consider with me for just a few moments how the world would be different and how your relationships would be different if we served one another the same way that Jesus has served us. Think about how your marriage would be different if each spouse put the needs of the other above themselves. Think about how your family would be different if the children and the parents each put the needs of each other above themselves. Think about how work would be different if the employer and the employee put the needs of each other above themselves. How about your friendships? If you put the needs of each other above yourself, what would the world look like if we could do that, if we could serve one another? Well, first of all of our needs would be met, but there'd be an unbreakable bond in every relationship because you serve one another. It all begins with Jesus. Jesus serves us, and now we serve one another. It changes our entire mindset. Our attitude is transformed. It's what happens when God calls you to faith. It's what happens when Jesus becomes your Lord and your Savior. Scripture tells us that our lives are then being transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. And a transformed life means it's transformed our thinking. It's transformed our speaking. It's even transformed our attitude. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, how can we thank you for the gift of your Son? And Lord Jesus, how can we come to you with such a selfless act of giving all for us, even becoming one with us? We ask that the Spirit would enter into our hearts, that it would change us, it would transform us, that we could be more and more like you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.